Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio. Glenn for John for this half hour. And our next guest, happy to have along, a Catholic author and speaker, wife, mom of seven, author Emily Jaminet. Emily, great to have you along today.
Oh, thank you, Glenn. I sure love our morning air time together once a month. Isn't it great to connect and be inspired?
That's right. Talking about being inspired today. And sometimes we think we might feel a little blah. We're looking for inspiration. Maybe we're looking for inspiration, not just to amuse us, but to get through some tough times. COVID-19 and the pandemic and the quarantine and all of that have caused many tough times for folks around the world. But anytime we ought to be attentive to the Spirit and look for inspiration from above. And we're going to talk about some best ways to do that. And not only for ourselves, but in turn to use that inspiration we receive to help others, Emily.
Yeah, I like to think of this simple phrase. It really helps me as a busy mom and in ministry, that our desire is to be inspired by Christ so that ultimately we can be transformed by Christ. So that simple phrase, be inspired to be transformed. There's a reason for that inspiration. It's not something we just want to hold within ourselves, but really we are most like Christ when we're his hands and his feet and we're serving and loving others. That is truly a privilege. So I can't move forward without starting with one of my most favorite quotes as a very busy mom, and that's from St. Catherine of Siena. Be who God meant you to be, and we shall set the world on fire. And that is so important. The Lord is not calling Mrs. Jaminet to be my next door neighbor or just like this other mom two streets over. He's calling each one of us to be fully alive, to be ourselves, made in the image and likeness of God. And you know what, Glenn, one of the nicest compliments I was thinking last night I have ever received was after I did a presentation, a women's conference. Someone came up to me and said, well, if you can do this, then surely I can do this. And it was such a simple phrase, but really that's what this is about. We're all in this together. We're all seeking to be inspired to then be transformed and made holy. So, you know, the lives of the saints, our brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, even looking and reading the Gospels every day is such an opportunity to receive that inspiration and then know that you can be transformed. We can grow in holiness.
We certainly can. And the idea that it's not just for our benefit, but to help others. And what a great way to kind of be inspired by being in motion a little bit for the benefit of others.
You're right. And it's not just for us. You know, that's really important that when we look at our morning prayer, when we get on our knees, when we open our Bibles, which I really encourage each one of your listeners to do, I know that motivation is takes a lot to make that change to incorporating morning prayer, but you will absolutely be blessed and you'll start to see that that's your daily food to go forth and do everything that you're called to do. And that's how we break that cycle of resentment or depression or anxiety or just the blahs of Monday morning, is knowing that God has a beautiful purpose for you on this day. And he wants to use you not as a slave. We know he's our friend, he's our savior, but to do and living out the mission of the church as, you know, completely to who we are in our vocational calling. So as for me as a busy mom, there's a lot of tasks I have to do, I might not want to do, but with Christ's love, it truly is transformative in how I can view that task at hand.
And to realize that we're all called, we all have a purpose, we all have a job to do in the kingdom. And it starts with some of those little things. You write about how even looking someone in the eye, really smiling at them, being present, being truly present can be quite a gift and can make quite a difference.
You know, we've kind of lost that, the importance of mannerisms. One thing our family's working on is screen-free Sunday. You know, I had to remind many people, even myself, that, you know, our goal is take one day a week and put those phones and screens away. And you know what? It's okay if you're a little bored. It's okay because from that moment, you might play a game of cards with your kids or a game of match. Or, you know, yesterday we ended up going to the swimming pool because we were like, oh, you know, we're going to have a screen-free day. But the greatest gift you can give is the gift of attentiveness. Your eyes, when you're checking out at the, you know, the checkout line, your smile to a child, a neighbor, a male person, you know, even though we're practicing social distancing, we can really do a lot to spread our love for Christ and really remind ourselves of our pleas and thank yous.
You know, and it does pay off too, just thinking of some fun over the weekend. We had heard the story on Friday night from the friends across the street, their little ones, or not that little, they're, you know, middle school age, but had made the effort to transform this old dog kennel into a home for a couple of cute little bunnies. And by Saturday, they got them. And by Sunday, we had four little girls knocking on our door to show us the bunnies and let us hold and pet them. But that was a result of, you know, being attentive over the years to all sizes of neighbors, the big and small as well, and to be able to get that treat of the bunnies coming over, but to be in relationship with people of all sizes by noticing what they notice, what they care about, and just, you know, simply being kind.
And I can tell by your voice, Glenn, that it brought you so much joy. And that's really what is going to transform the people that we love and all of society, is that joy. And the Lord gives us these little reminders. I actually had a moment over the weekend where we ordered this mattress. It wasn't the right mattress for us. And so Brooklyn said, well, you have to actually donate it to a charity. So finding who I was going to donate this mattress to and where it was going to go. Well, it turns out it ended up going to a wonderful ministry here in Columbus, Ohio. And it wasn't just the mattress that I gave this young 20-year-old, but everyone in my Bible study faith group donated sheets and blankets and new pillows and even full bedroom set. So on Sunday, you know, we delivered it, and I can't tell you the joy to go to Mass and then do a work of mercy as transformative of just, and at first I was burdened by this extra mattress, but as a result, a tremendous work of mercy took place. And that's why on my desk, I have a list of the works of mercy. I'm trying to be attentive to them. And when you're open through prayer and to do these works, and, you know, great, great things can happen. So part of being a Christian is not just that prayer, but then going forth and serving.
Emily, for a little tangent on that too, sometimes we're thinking that, okay, when everything in my life is in order, when I get everything the way, just the way I want it, when everything is perfect, then I'll be good to go out and help others. But we need to realize that life is going on all the time. We are called to be engaged all the time, not just when we have everything perfectly checked off our list, but do we need to maybe work a little harder on realizing that good can be done, and it's okay to do good even when things aren't absolutely perfect according to our list.
You're absolutely right. And as a busy mom of seven in ministry, I could not have perfectly coordinated this little work of mercy. But one of the things that was transformative was I sent a text out to some friends and I said, look in your linen closet. Do you have a lamp, a bed table? You know, what do you have to give this young 20-year-old who's mother gave her up at 14 years old and to the state because of this woman's addiction. So, you know, this amazing gift that we gave this 20-year-old was the result of not all of us running to Target and spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars, but us even looking in our own homes and passing it on. So that was what I love Father Burke said earlier, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to inspire us. He is the mastermind of inspiration so that we can be the hands and feet of Christ.
And it's fun to do that when we think of helping others, even in terms of pieces of furniture. I think of our kids' crib when they were all old enough to be done with it. We sent it on, teeth marks and all, to their little cousins to have as they grew. And then eventually came back to us when they were done. And we'd gotten a call through church one day about a young unwed mother who needed a crib. And we thought, well, it's just kind of sitting in pieces in storage, let's put it to some good use. And there it went. And to think of what we have access to and how much help it can do, something as simple as a piece of furniture or a mattress that might no longer be of use to you can certainly be of use to others. And sometimes it's those little things, those gifts that, you know, might strike a chord somewhere in there. And even if the people are too busy to maybe seem to thoroughly appreciate it at the time, yeah, you know that's going to make a difference down the road. And two, Emily, we might get thanks for something good we do. We might get that smile back, but we might not. But we need to realize that we're doing it because it's the right thing to do and not just for that response.
You're absolutely right. We don't do the good that we're called to do for the response of the other, right? We do it out of love of God. And as parents, that's really important to model that, to live that, to strive for that. But one of the things was we were driving the truck home and I was, you know, a friend of mine had the truck, so he lent the truck. But he said, you know, I just would have thrown all of that away. I just would have just called bulk pickup. But that was so much more rewarding to give it to someone who appreciated it and just with no strings attached. So, you know, if you're getting ready to order a big bulk pickup, you know, maybe call your local, you know, crisis pregnancy center for your baby clothes. Call your, you know, Catholic Social Services and say, this is what I have. Is there anyone that needs this? And who knows, maybe the Lord will perform a great work of mercy and you will be transformed in the process.
Recently, my wife had a coworker who kind of didn't want to do something. It wasn't unreasonable for him to do at all, but he felt it didn't fit with his personal brand. And that seemed kind of like a funny millennial thing to say. But then I got thinking about, how we ought to do good because that's what we as Christians do, not depending on the reaction of those that we do good to or for, but because that ought to be our brand, people that do good, that act kindly, that act with goodness and mercy, regardless of who's receiving those goods, but because that's the way we are, that should be our brand.
You're right. And let's be honest, it's also the antidote to going against the epidemic of worry, anxiety, the plague of depression is the doing the good, right? The Lord gives us these opportunities because it's good for our soul. And one of the things I've realized just in the world of parents that I'm with is that we're feeling weary. We're feeling tired. You know, I picked up my kids from college back in March for spring break and they're still home. Hopefully they're going back soon. But the point was, you know, this is the spring
break.
You
really stretched out still there. They're still home.
Yeah, they're still home. Well, with seven kids, that's a lot of people in one home. But, you know, when you're feeling that way, doing the works of mercy sure transform everything. And a priest, gave me such beautiful counsel. He said, Emily, when you're feeling anxious and overwhelmed, shift your prayer a little bit from just praying those prayer intentions for all of your family and everyone in your life and turn it to worship. So instead of worrying, worship, you know, play that worship music and remember that this is, our eyes need to be on Christ because when we fully worship our Lord, it puts our soul at rest and then we can be renewed. So a great way to be transformed is through the power of obviously going to the mass, going, you know, being consistent and going to mass, but also even just playing praise music in your home can make a big difference.
Continuing our chat with Emily Jaminet and looking at some practical ways to get inspiration and give some good to others as well. If we are feeling stressed and almost who isn't during what's going on now, Emily, but one way to counteract that is to realize how blessed we are and even look at some of those little simple things that are a blessing and again, not complain because everything's not perfect.
You're absolutely right. You know, literally we can count our blessings at the end of the day. And that's an important thing in which, especially if you feel like you're never leaving your home or, you know, like what good is going on in the world? Well, there's so much good going on in the world that, you know, we could literally spend hours thanking God for the sun, the fresh air, the beauty that surrounds us. And, You know, that is an important thing to do, not only for yourself, but as a parent, to point out those blessings to your children. I love to tell them stories of faith, stories of others who have been transformed. You know, there's nothing better than when you run into an old friend and they're in a better place than they were before. When they say something like, you know what, I used to not go to Mass and now I go to Mass every Sunday. Over the weekend, I ran into an old friend who told me that because of a high school Mass that her son was attending, she heard the words that she too was invited to be a saint. And she said, that's the first time someone told me, a little mom, that I could be a saint, that it was possible. And that inspiration, it changed her, invited her back to consistent prayer, to praying the rosary, to growing in her faith. So I think that's really important, that, you know, telling people that they're made for something better. And that's for all of us. And that is something that will truly change the people around you, is counting those blessings and then telling those stories of what took place and what does take place in your life.
You know, we think we're being kind when we want things to be easy, even for our kids. But in terms of encouragement to be a saint, it's almost a little bit a matter sometimes of setting expectations, too. I mean, with saints, we realize they all started out as regular people, as we all start out. But we are all called to be saints. Is it a matter of leaving the expectations up there a little bit and not lowering them to make it easy, think we're being kind?
Well, as you know, you can't live a diet of pizza and Twinkies to lose weight, right? There's a certain formula we use for when we're on a health diet or a health kick. We eat better quality food. We eat fruits and vegetables and we change. And that's the same thing in the spiritual life. We need to change, but it's not an overwhelming change. It's slight changes. And I like to say that when I recognize, you know, like a rock climber, as we're climbing up that rock wall, it's the Lord is with us in those challenging moments, but he doesn't do it all. We have to participate. Our will is to be united. And that's really encouraging, that, you know, with that grace, we can be transformed, because it's not, you know, my will. It's, you know, we do all things with Christ Jesus, that he is the one that's working through us. And, you know, I got to tell you, my favorite quote, St. Padre Pio once said, pray, hope, and don't worry. And if we can adopt that on this day, you know, to pray, to have hope, to believe that, you know, everything, you know, our greatest desire is heaven itself, and then not to worry, we will not get caught up in the rat race of the confusion that's going on right now, that we can stay focused and, you know, not be afraid, which is really the message of the gospel that we heard on the Feast of the Transfiguration. And then even this past weekend, do not be afraid.
And so many mentions of that, to fear not, throughout Scripture. But when we think about Sunday's gospel and the fear that Peter did not have for a while to be able to walk on water, and he got a little afraid, but our Lord was right there. But yet he allowed Peter to have that faith to come out there, and you know, Peter's fear, you know, apparently did not last throughout his history and in the gospel tellings of what he was up to, because he kept trying to do the hard things.
I know. And I love when our Lord tells Peter, you know, at the very end of it, why did you doubt? You know, and I think that as a parent, I can say that to my children. Why did you doubt that I wasn't going to pick you up for that ride? But I might fail them. You know, I might not pick them up for the end of a sporting event or whatever that moment was. But our Lord is 100% dependable. And that's why we need to cling to Scripture and literally fill our day with Scripture, so that we can recall those words and hear our Lord say to us, just as, you know, make it come alive. Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? You know, make that definitely come alive. And honestly, that's why I wrote this book, Prayfully, which came out in February by Ave Maria Press, because I want people's prayer life to come alive and see that when prayers are answered, or when you feel like they're not answered, our Lord is always present in your life.
Now, when we talk about how we might fail a little bit, unlike Christ, when we're helping our kids, and our kids will fail too, because we all do. But as a mom, how important is it, we should say, to help kids realize, to kind of pick themselves up and sometimes get help to do that, to try again when they fail? I think in terms of trying to be so kind, sometimes, not that we want to allow our kids to fail, but sometimes it's necessary to let them maybe struggle a little bit so they know that in life we need to come back from failures, either failures others have, you know, it's someone else's fault. Quite often it's our own fault of failure, but we need to be able to come back either way.
You're absolutely right. And that's what I love, those final words at the end of the Transfiguration in Matthew 17. Jesus then tells the apostles then, rise and do not be afraid. So we do need to rise. We can't stay in the place that we were yesterday. We need to be that better version. But as parents, as aunts and uncles, we need to do it with love. And that's why we talked about the mannerisms on our face, you know, being attentive. Am I saying this message with love? Because they're hard messages we need to say, but that when it's rooted in love, it can make a big difference. And we're all going to fail in this. Don't think you're going to be perfect, but that's why we have the gift of reconciliation, you know, with our Lord and then with the people that we love, telling them you're sorry, and then you too striving for something better. And that's the cycle of life until our final breath.
It might be our kids. It might be us having a hard time, you know, forgiving ourselves if we goof up, or forgiving others as we need to make that comeback. What are some ways we can help our kids realize that it's a necessary part of life?
Well, we are our children's greatest coach. And I like to think about the seven kids. The ultimate goal is for them to leave the nest and go forth and live in the world. So those tiny little failings, which, you know, we had a lot of COVID failings around here. Maybe it's just even helping with cleaning or whatnot. First, making them aware of something that is a challenge. Maybe it's, you know, making them aware that they can get a job and they can fill their time in a better way, but doing it slowly and then counting the blessings. A lot of times we don't look back and see where we once were and see that progress. We only see the negative. So training our eyes to be more positive and see and know that the Lord is always with us, and we're all called to rise. We're all called to rise. And that's why each and every day we can have these amazing opportunities of transformation through inspiration.
And Emily, before we let you go, maybe just a quick update on what school will look like for the bunch in your area this fall.
Well, what a great question. You know what? First, I trust in the Lord. So whatever that looks like, but the kids will all be returning, all seven, to Catholic schools. And I believe that, you know, our school system is doing their best to keep them safe. So if they need to wear a mask, they will wear a mask. And if, you know, that's why we need to pray that the pandemic comes to an end. But they're all very much looking forward to the end of August.
Well, Emily, thank you so much, and blessings as that school year gets underway and all the other great adventures you have. Again, Emily Jaminet joining us this morning. We continue now with Morning Air, and it's time for a look at today's Story Corner. Our story today called In His Mother's Footsteps by Davida Dalton. It was a busy day in our Costa Mesa, California home. But then with 10 children and one on the way, every day was hectic. On this particular day, however, I was having trouble doing even routine chores, all because of one little boy. Len, who was 3 at the time, was on my heels no matter where I went. Whenever I stopped to do something and turned back around, I'd trip over him. Several times I patiently suggested fun activities to keep him occupied. Wouldn't you like to play on the swing set? I asked again. But he simply smiled an innocent smile and said, oh, that's all right, Mommy. I'd rather be in here with you. Then he continued to bounce happily along behind me. After stepping on his toes for the 5th time, I began to lose my patience and insisted that he go outside and play with the other kids. When I asked him why he was acting this way, he looked at me with his sweet green eyes and said, well, Mommy, in primary, my teacher told me to walk in Jesus' footsteps. but I can't see him, so I'm walking in yours." And Catherine landed in my arms and held him close. Tears of love and humility spilled over from the prayer that grew in my heart, a prayer of thanks for the simple yet beautiful perspective of a 3-year-old boy. This experience has served as a reminder to me of the vital role of a mother. While it is sobering to realize I'm a crucial link between my children and the Savior, I need to remember that since a mother is a co-partner with God, I'm in a position to receive guidance from one who truly cares and wants all of us to walk in heavenly footsteps. Mark 10:15, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. That's our story for today. If you would like to hear it again, it's always available in podcast form on the Relevant Radio app, also on Facebook at Glenn's Story Corner. You can see the text as well as listen to the audio there, and we'd love to get your suggestions. If you've come across or even written a story that would make a good story corner, feel free to send it to our attention, morningair@relevantradio.com. Morning Air continues straight ahead here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.